1 Kings chapter 15. Biblical exposition. The lamp of David and the sin revealed in the age of the kings. Introductory words. 1 Kings chapter 15 shows how the next generation of the divided kingdom was evaluated before God. Abijam, king of Judah, belonged to the lineage of David and reigned as king in Jerusalem. But his heart was not like the heart of David. He followed the sins of his father and was not perfect before God. This shows that the lineage and outward form of faith cannot make a person righteous. But God left a lamp in Jerusalem for David's sake. This was not because of Abijam's righteousness, but because of the covenant and mercy God had given to David. The human kings failed, but God did not cut off the promise of salvation. The grace of this lamp is ultimately completed in Jesus Christ, who came as the descendant of David. In this chapter, Asa, unlike the kings before him, appears as a king who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He drove out the perverted persons, did away with the idols, and even deposed from the position of queen mother, his mother Maacha, who had made an abominable idol of Asherah. Asa's reforms show that even a close relationship and an old tradition must be cast away if they are an idol God hates. But Asa also had his limits. He could not remove the high places completely, and before the pressure of Baasha, he took the silver and gold of the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. He was a king whose direction was right before God, but he also revealed the weakness of relying on human methods before a crisis. In this way, a human king, however good an evaluation he receives, cannot become a complete savior. Therefore, 1 Kings chapter 15 makes us look to the true king, Jesus Christ, to whom the lamp of David leads. Jesus took on all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and accomplished complete salvation by rising again from death. This gospel of the water and the Spirit is the true lamp that gives life to sinners. We must not hold on only to the outward form of faith like Abijam. We must cast away idols like Asa and go further, relying not on human methods, but only on the righteousness of God that Jesus Christ has completed. Abijam became king of Judah in a divided age. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacha, the granddaughter of Abishalom. 1 Kings chapter 15. Verses 1 through 2. 1 Kings chapter 15 begins with the scene of Abijam becoming king of Judah. He became king of Judah in the 18th year of King Jeroboam and reigned in Jerusalem for 3 years. His reign was not long, but even in this short reign is contained the spiritual stream that had continued since Solomon. The age in which Abijam became king was after the nation had already been divided in two. Solomon had departed from God and accepted the idols of his foreign wives, and as a result, God tore the nation of Israel apart. In the days of Rehoboam, the hearts of the people were divided, and Jeroboam became king of northern Israel, set up golden calves, and changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. Southern Judah possessed the temple in Jerusalem, but in the days of Rehoboam, it too set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah, doing evil before God. It was within this very stream that Abijam became king. His reign, therefore, is not simply the beginning of one king, It is a record that shows what influenced Solomon's corruption, Rehoboam's evil way, and Jeroboam's corruption of the law of sacrifice left on the next generation. Today as well. The wrong faith of one generation influences the next generation. If we do not preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit in its fullness, and leave out the baptism of Jesus and speak only of the blood of the cross, those who follow after also fail to know the truth of the remission of sin in its fullness. Therefore, we must not think only of the faith of our own age, but must pass on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained to the next generation just as it is. Abijam's heart was not like the heart of David, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3. In evaluating Abijam, the scriptures say that he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3. In the days of his father Rehoboam, Judah set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah, and imitated the abominations of the pagan nations. Abijam did not cut off that evil stream. He repeated the sins of his father's generation. The scriptures also say that his heart was not like the heart of his forefather David. David, too, was a weak man. He committed a great sin in the matter of Uriah. But when David was rebuked before God, he turned back, and the center of his heart was directed toward God. He did not replace God with an idol, and he did not change at will the way of salvation God had ordained. Abijam was not like that. He belonged to the dynasty of David, but he did not follow the heart of David. Outwardly, he was a descendant of David and reigned as king in Jerusalem, but his heart was not perfect before God. This is an important warning for us today as well. The lineage or tradition of faith does not make a person righteous. Even if we are inside the church, in a family of faith, and carry the name of an old faith, if our heart does not stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained, it is not a perfect faith before God. True faith is believing the truth that Jesus bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. The heart that believes in this gospel of the water and the Spirit is the right heart before God. God left a lamp in Jerusalem for David's sake. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, by setting up his son after him, and by establishing Jerusalem. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 4. Abijam was not perfect before God, but God gave a lamp in Jerusalem for David's sake. He set up his son after him, and established Jerusalem. This was not because of Abijam's righteousness, but because of the covenant and mercy God had given to David. Here the lamp shows the grace God left so that the house of David would not be completely cut off. The kings of southern Judah, too, were often not perfect before God, but God left a lamp in Jerusalem for David's sake. This shows that God is the one who carries out his promise even in the midst of human failure. The grace of this lamp ultimately makes us think of the promise of salvation God would accomplish. Even in the midst of human weakness and the failures of the kings, God did not cut off the way of salvation. Through the Christ who would come as the descendant of David, he carried out his will to save sinners. Jesus Christ came to this earth according to the lineage of David and by receiving baptism from John. He bore all our sins. Then he received the judgment of those sins on the cross and completed salvation by rising again from death. This is the true lamp God has given to sinners. The human kings failed, but the gospel of the water and the Spirit the Lord accomplished is the complete light that gives life to sinners. David did what was right in the sight of God. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. Concerning David, the scriptures say that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of his life. Except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. This word does not mean that David was a complete man without any sin. He clearly committed a great sin. But the scriptures speak of the direction of his heart. He did not cast God away and make another God his God. And he did not cast away the word of God and establish his own religion. David's greatness does not lie in putting forward his own righteousness. When his sin was pointed out before God, he did not hide himself. He fell down before God and sought God's mercy. His was a heart that could return to God. By contrast, Solomon accepted foreign idols in his last years. Judah in the days of Rehoboam set up high places and idols, and Jeroboam changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. These men, even while holding the position and blessing they had received from God, departed from the way God had ordained. For us today as well, what matters is the direction of the heart. We are weak, but we must believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained and stand on that truth. It is not holding on to our own righteousness or deeds, but believing in the righteousness of God, that Jesus bore our sins by receiving baptism from John, was judged on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. The stream of sin gave birth to continuing war. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 6 through 7. Between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, there was war all the days of his life. And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam as well. After Solomon's corruption, the nation was divided. And that division continued into the next generation. In the days of Abijam, too, the confrontation between southern Judah and northern Israel did not stop. This war was not merely a political dispute. At its root was the sin of departing from God. Solomon accepted idols. Rehoboam failed to win the hearts of the people. And Jeroboam set up golden calves and a corrupted law of sacrifice to protect his own kingship. As a result, the people of God came to the place of being divided and fighting each other. When we depart from the way God has ordained, peace disappears. It is the same with a faith that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If a person claims to believe in Jesus while sin remains in his heart, War keeps breaking out within his soul. He wavers between being a sinner and being righteous. And even while repeating prayers of repentance, his conscience does not obtain freedom. But the gospel of the water and the Spirit gives true peace. For Jesus bore our sins by receiving baptism from John, ended the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. The person who believes this truth stands before God as a righteous person who has received the remission of sin. Even Abijam's short life was recorded before God. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So Abijam rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 7 through 8. The rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did were written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. He died and was buried in the city of David, and his son Asa became king in his place. His reign was short, 3 years. But even that short life was evaluated before God. In human history, what a king did is recorded. But the scriptures record as more important with what heart he lived before God. Abijam was buried in the city of David, but his heart was not like the heart of David. He belonged to the lineage of David, but did not fully follow the faith of David. This gives us a deep lesson as well. Whether life is long or short, what matters is with what faith we stand before God. More important than how much we have done is whether we have believed in the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. What matters is whether we have held on to the truth of salvation accomplished by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death. After Abijam, Asa becomes king. God did not put out the lamp for David's sake, but raised up the next generation. This shows that God's mercy and covenant continue even in the midst of human failure. But even within that grace, each person must make his own faith clear before God. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 1 through 8 makes us look not at lineage and form, but at the faith of the heart. This passage shows Abijam's short reign and his spiritual evaluation. He was king of Judah, reigned in Jerusalem, and belonged to the lineage of David. But the scriptures say that his heart was not like the heart of David, and that he was not perfect before God. He followed the sins of his father, and the war between south and north continued. But God left a lamp in Jerusalem for David's sake. This shows God's mercy and the faithfulness of his covenant. The human kings failed, but God did not cut off the promise of salvation. That promise was finally completed in Jesus Christ. Jesus bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. This gospel of the water and the Spirit is the true lamp God has given to sinners. Therefore, we must not merely possess the lineage and outward form of faith like Abijam. One can belong to the city of David and yet lose the heart of David. One can be inside the church and yet not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit. One can call on the name of Jesus and yet not believe in the righteousness of God accomplished by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death. We must set our hearts on the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We must believe the word of salvation God has ordained just as it is and pass that truth on to the next generation. This is the way to escape from Solomon's corruption. Jeroboam's sin and Rehoboam's evil way, and to stand in the faith that pleases God. Asa became king in the midst of a fallen Judah. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maacha, the granddaughter of Abishalom. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 9 through 10. Asa became king of Judah in the 20th year of King Jeroboam. He reigned in Jerusalem for 41 years. Abijam before him had reigned only 3 years, but Asa ruled Judah for a long period. What matters, however, is not the length of the reign, but in what direction he stood before God. The age in which Asa became king was an age already much fallen spiritually. Solomon, in his last years, had accepted the idols of his foreign wives, and in the days of Rehoboam, Judah had set up high places, idols, and wooden images of Asherah. Abijam, too, had followed the sins of his father, and there was continual war between the southern and northern kingdoms. In northern Israel, Jeroboam had set up golden calves and changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained, leading the whole people into sin. In such an age, Asa became king. His reign, therefore, is not simply the political story of one king. It is the scene where a movement begins in the midst of a stream that had departed from God to stand right before God again. It is the same today. Even in an age where wrong faith has long continued, God raises up people who stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Though there are many faiths that speak of Jesus and yet leave out the baptism of Jesus and speak only of the cross, faiths that say one is saved while sin remains in the heart, faiths that try to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts, the way of salvation God has ordained does not change. The believer must be not a person who follows the current of his age, but a person who turns to the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like David. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 11. In evaluating Asa, the scriptures say that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 11. This is a very precious evaluation. The generation before Asa was not perfect before God. Abijam committed the sins of his father, and his heart was not like the heart of David. But Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like David. To be right here does not mean simply to be morally without blemish. It means that the direction of the heart is right before God. David also had weaknesses, but he did not replace God with another God. And he did not change the way God had ordained by his own thinking. He had a heart that knew how to return to God when he was rebuked. Asa also showed that direction. He did not leave alone the idolatry that had come into Judah. He tried to correct what was wrong and remove what God hates. This is the fruit of a heart that is right before God. Today, we who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must also be right before God. A right faith is not pretending to have no sin in one's heart when there is sin. It is setting oneself before the word of salvation God has ordained. It is believing just as it is the truth that Jesus Christ bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. Asa removed the perverted persons and the idols from the land. And he banished the perverted persons from the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 12. Asa banished the perverted persons from the land, and did away with all the idols his fathers had made. Earlier, in the days of Rehoboam, there had been perverted persons in the land, and the people had imitated the abominations of the pagan nations God had driven out. Asa did not leave that evil stream alone. He removed the things God hates. This is the beginning of true reform. To return to God is not merely to seek God with words. It is to cast away the idols God hates. No one can claim to serve God while leaving in place the filthy customs and idols that have settled in the land. Because Asa did what was right before God, he sought to remove the idols and the abominations of the land. In the heart of the believer today as well, there are idols that must be removed. The heart that relies on material things more than on God, the heart that seeks people's recognition and tries to protect one's own kingdom, the heart that holds its own doctrines more firmly than the Word of God, these can become idols. Above all, changing the gospel of the water and the spirit that God has ordained into human doctrine is a very fearful idolatry. Jeroboam replaced God with golden calves and changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. Today, a faith that tries to explain the remission of sin while leaving out the baptism of Jesus and speaking only of the blood of the cross stands in the same stream. If the truth that Jesus bore our sins by receiving baptism from John is left out, we cannot fully know why the blood he shed on the cross became the judgment of sin. Therefore, a doctrine that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit cannot actually remove the sins of the heart. Asa even cut down and burned the idol of his mother Maacha. Also, he removed Maacha, his grandmother, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it by the brook Kidron. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 13. The most striking scene in Asa's reforms is his deposing his mother Maacha from the position of queen mother. Maacha had made an abominable idol of Asherah. Asa did not leave it alone just because she was his mother. He deposed her from the position of queen mother, cut down that idol, and burned it by the brook Kidron. This shows what an honest faith before God is. A person may want to cover over sin because of a close relationship, because of family tradition, blood ties, and human affection. One may leave in place what God hates. But Asa did not do so. Before God, an idol was an idol, even though the matter involved his own mother. He removed it. True faith does not allow anything to come before God. If there is anything we regard as more precious than the gospel of the water and the Spirit, it can become an idol. Family, tradition, denomination, people's recognition, and old habits of faith also become idols if they come before the Word of God. Today we too must be this clear. Even if a teaching different from the gospel of the water and the Spirit comes from someone close to us, or from an old tradition of faith, or from a denomination many people follow. If it differs from the word of salvation God has ordained, we cannot accept it. Only the truth that Jesus bore our sins by receiving baptism from John, was judged for those sins on the cross, and completed salvation by rising again from death, is the way of salvation God has established. He could not remove the high places, but Asa's heart was perfect before the Lord. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 14. Asa removed many idols, but he could not do away with the high places. This point shows that even his reforms had their limits. The high places had long been settled in the faith and life of the people. Asa removed the idols and burned the image of Asherah, but he could not do away with the high places completely. Yet the scriptures say that his heart was perfect before the Lord all his days. Here we must see the balance of the scriptures. It is not that Asa was without shortcomings, but the direction of his heart was toward God. He did not seek to serve idols. He sought to remove what God hates, and he sought to stand honestly before the Lord. There can be shortcomings in the believer's life as well, but what matters is where the heart stands. We must not hold on to idols and false faith with our own lack as the excuse. We must have the heart that seeks to stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. The person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not become righteous because his deeds are complete either. He has become righteous because Jesus bore all his sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified him by rising again from death. The heart that believes this truth is the ground of a perfect faith before God. Asa brought silver and gold and utensils into the house of the Lord. He also brought into the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 15. Asa brought into the house of the Lord the things his father had dedicated, and the things he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. This shows that he had a heart that gives back to God. Earlier, in the days of Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, had taken away the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house, and the gold shields of Solomon. Judah lost its glory and replaced the gold shields with bronze shields. But Asa again brought dedicated things into the house of the Lord. The faith that returns to God does not end with casting away idols. It goes on to giving to God what ought to be given to him. Asa removed the idols and offered to God what had been dedicated. This shows that his heart was directed toward God. Today, we too, after believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, must set apart what we have received from God and offer it to him. Our time, material things, gifts, and heart were not given to us to build our own kingdom. They were given to us to preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and to give life to souls. Solomon received many blessings from God, but in his last years he let those blessings flow away into the glory of the flesh and into idols. Jeroboam received the kingship from God, but to keep his own kingship, he changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. But Asa removed the idols and offered to God what had been dedicated. We must see this difference. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 9 through 15, teaches us to remove the idols before the gospel of the water and the Spirit. This passage shows how Asa became king of Judah and did what was right before God. He drove out the perverted persons, did away with the idols his fathers had made, and even deposed from the position of queen mother his mother Maacha, who had made an abominable idol of Asherah. And he cut down that idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. He could not remove the high places completely, but his heart was perfect before the Lord all his life. This word shows what true faith is. The person who has returned to God cannot leave idols alone. The person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must remove whatever differs from the word of salvation God has ordained. However strong human tradition, relationships, and one's own thoughts may be, if they cover the truth God has ordained, they must be cut down. The idols of today are not only golden calves and wooden images of Asherah. A doctrine that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross. A teaching that says sin can be washed away by prayers of repentance. A religious comfort that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart. And a heart that serves material things and success like God. These two can become idols. Such things must be removed before the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The salvation God has ordained is clear. Jesus Christ bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us completely by rising again from death. The person who believes in this gospel of the water and the Spirit is the person who has received the remission of sin before God. Therefore, we must be honest before God like Asa. We must not leave an idol in place because of a close relationship, nor hold on to a false teaching because of an old tradition. We must cast away whatever does not accord with the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and offer to God a heart and a life set apart for Him. This is the lesson of faith that 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 9 through 15 gives us. There was war between Asa and Baasha as well. Now there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 16. Between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, there was war all their days. Asa was king of Judah, and as we saw above, he was evaluated as a king who removed the idols and did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But even in his days, the war between southern Judah and northern Israel did not end. The root of this war lies in the division of the nation that followed Solomon's corruption. Solomon departed from God and accepted idols. The nation was divided in the days of Rehoboam. And Jeroboam set up golden calves in northern Israel and changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained. As a result, the people who should have served one God were divided into south and north and kept fighting. Baasha was the man who destroyed the house of Jeroboam, but he himself did not depart from the way of Jeroboam. Having seen the house of Jeroboam receive judgment, he should have turned back, but he followed the same stream of sin. This is the fearfulness of a defective faith. A wrong faith does not end with one person. it is passed on to the next person as well. Today as well, a faith that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit cannot give a person true peace. If the baptism of Jesus is left out and only the blood of the cross is preached, we cannot know how our sins were passed on to Jesus. Then sin remains in the heart, and we try to resolve that sin with prayers of repentance and our own efforts. Such a faith leaves continual war inside the soul. True peace comes when we believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that Jesus bore our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed salvation by rising again from death. Baasha built Ramah and tried to block Judah's way. And Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 17. Baasha came up against Judah and built Ramah. Ramah was an important junction north of Jerusalem. His attempt to seize that place was a move to block people's coming and going and to press Judah. He tried to hold a strategic military point and block the way of Asa, king of Judah. This scene connects with the continuing stream in which the kings of northern Israel kept using human means to protect their own kingdoms. Jeroboam, too, feared that his kingship would be shaken if the people went up to the temple in Jerusalem. So he made golden calves and set up altars at Bethel and Dan. Baasha built Ramah and tried to block the way to and from Judah. The form differs, but the stream of trying to keep one's kingdom by one's own strength and calculation without relying on God is the same. When a person departs from the way God has ordained, he comes to live always by blocking and holding. Jeroboam tried to block the hearts of the people from going to Jerusalem, and Baasha tried to block the actual road. This is a work of blocking the way of freedom and life that God has given. Today as well, wrong Christian faith can block the way of a soul toward the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If we do not preach to people the truth of the remission of sin completed by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death, but teach that the blood of the cross alone is sufficient, they cannot go forward to the true way of the remission of sin. If we make them try to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and religious efforts, the human conscience remains bound under sin. Asa sent the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house to Ben-Hadad. Then Asa took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 18. When Baasha pressed him by building Ramah, Asa took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, in Damascus. Earlier, Asa had brought into the house of the Lord the things his father had dedicated and the things he himself had dedicated. But now, when a crisis came, he took out the treasures of the house of the Lord and used them for an alliance with a foreign king. This part must be viewed very gravely. Asa was a king who had removed the idols, a king evaluated as having done what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But in the face of the crisis, rather than first asking God and relying on him, he tried to buy a human alliance with the treasures of the temple and the treasures of the king's house. What has been offered to God belongs to God. The silver and gold of the treasuries of the house of the Lord had been dedicated to God. To send them to a foreign king to obtain political help was to use what had been offered to God as a human means. Today we too must look back at what we use the things we have received from God for. Our time, material things, gifts, and heart must not become the tools of worldly bargaining to escape our own crises. What God has given must be used to serve the gospel of the water and the Spirit, to preach the righteousness of God, and to give life to souls. Solomon also received great wisdom and riches from God, but he did not use them to the end in serving the righteousness of God. He let them flow away into the glory of the flesh and into idols. We must fear this stream. A human covenant can seem to solve the immediate problem. Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you a present of silver and gold. Come and break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 19. Asa said to Ben-Hadad, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father." 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 19. And sending a present of silver and gold, he asked him to break the treaty he had made with Baasha, so that Baasha would withdraw from him. Asa used a political covenant with the king of Syria to resolve Baasha's pressure. In human eyes, this can look like wise diplomacy. Since Baasha was pressing in, it was moving a stronger outside power to hold Baasha in check. In fact, this method brings the effect of solving the immediate problem. But this way is different from the way of faith that relies on God. The people of God must first ask God in the face of a crisis. They must follow the way God has ordained. But Asa took the treasures dedicated to God and asked a foreign king for help. This is a regrettable point in a king of faith. It shows that even a person who has made a good start can choose the method of the flesh in the face of a crisis. Today as well, the believer can leave the faith of the gospel of the water and the Spirit before difficulty and take hold of human means. Under the pretext of protecting the church and protecting the ministry, we can blur the truth God has ordained. We must not speak the gospel of the water and the Spirit weakly in order to hold on to people, nor compromise the truth of the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death. The work of God must stand on the truth God has ordained rather than on human calculation. At Ben-Hadad's attack, Baasha stopped building Ramah. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. He attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Beth-Maacah, and all Chinneroth, with all the land of Naphtali. Now it happened, when Baasha heard it, that he stopped building Ramah and remained in Tirzah. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 20 through 21. Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies to attack the cities of Israel. Ijon, Dan, Abel-Beth-Maacah, all Chinneroth, and all the land of Naphtali came under attack. When Baasha heard the news, he stopped building Ramah and remained in Tirzah. As a result, Asa's plan seems to have succeeded. Baasha stopped building Ramah, and the threat at the junction that had pressed Judah disappeared. But we must not judge this event by its result alone. What matters to the people of God is not only whether the matter was resolved, but with what faith it was resolved. Human methods can solve the immediate problem, but if that method does not come from the faith that relies on God, it can become a spiritually dangerous way. This choice of Asa's leads into the stream that later reveals the weakness of his faith. He was a king who removed the idols, but he did not rely wholly on God alone at every moment. Today as well, we cannot say that because a ministry has succeeded outwardly, it is therefore the way that pleases God. Even if many people gather, problems are resolved, and the organization is maintained. If the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not at its center, it is not a true spiritual victory. What pleases God is believing in the righteousness of God, completed by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death, and acting according to that truth. Asa built Geba and Mizpah with the timber and stones of Ramah. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building. And with them, King Asa built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 22. When Baasha stopped building Ramah, Asa gave a command to all Judah, and let no one be exempted. He had them carry away the stones and timber with which Baasha had been building Ramah, and with them he built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. The materials with which Baasha had been building to block Judah now became building materials for Judah's defense. This scene shows that God can also turn the tools of the enemy and use them in another direction. But at the same time, a heavy question remains over Asa's method. He got past the crisis and brought the stones and timber of Ramah to build cities. But in the process, the silver and gold of the treasuries of the house of the Lord passed to a foreign king. Outwardly, cities were built, but the treasures of the house of the Lord were diminished. The outward defense was strengthened, but what had been dedicated to God was spent as the price of a human alliance. This makes us think about what the believer must protect before a crisis. More important than building cities is keeping the center of faith offered to God. Today as well, the church and the people of God must not weaken or compromise the truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit in order to protect outward stability and organization. In human eyes, it may look as though Geba and Mizpah are being built, but if we lose the treasure of the truth offered to God, it is not a true victory. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is the treasure of God that must be kept in any crisis. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 16 through 22 asks what we rely on before a crisis. This passage records the war between Asa and Baasha, Baasha's building of Ramah, and the event in which Asa sent the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house to Ben-Hadad to ask for help. Asa was a king who had removed the idols, but before the pressure of Baasha, he used the treasures dedicated to God for an alliance with a foreign king. As a result, Baasha stopped building Ramah, and Asa built Geba and Mizpah with those stones and that timber. This word asks us what we rely on before a crisis. Human methods can solve the immediate problem, but we must not make the truth God has ordained and the things offered to God the tools of worldly bargaining. We must regard keeping the center of faith before God as more precious than solving outward problems. Jeroboam changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained in order to protect his own kingship. Asa sent the treasures of the house of the Lord to a foreign king in order to get past the crisis of his nation. We cannot say the two are the same sin, but both events make us ask one thing. Are we using what God has given us for God, or as a means of protecting our own safety and our own kingdom? We who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must regard the truth God has given us as precious above all. Jesus Christ bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and completed salvation by rising again from death. This gospel of the water and the Spirit is the most precious treasure God has entrusted to us. Therefore, we must not compromise this truth even before a crisis. We may open away for a moment by relying on human strength, but if we lose the gospel of the water and the Spirit, we lose the true way that gives life to souls. Looking at both Asa's good points and his regrettable points, we must go beyond the faith that removes idols and stand in the faith that relies on God and on the gospel of the water and the Spirit in every crisis. More important than the rest of Asa's acts is faith before God. The rest of all the acts of Asa, all his might, all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 23. Asa was a king who received a comparatively good evaluation among the kings of Judah. He banished the perverted persons from the land, did away with the idols his fathers had made, and even deposed from the position of queen mother, his mother Maacha, who had made an abominable idol of Asherah. He also brought silver and gold and utensils into the house of the Lord. In the stream of idolatry that had continued through the days of Rehoboam and Abijam, Asa was a king who sought to remove what God hates. But in recording his end, the scriptures speak of the rest of all the acts of Asa, all his might, all that he did, and the cities which he built. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 23, and then say that these were written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. In human history, Asa's might, his achievements, and the cities he built can be recorded. But the scriptures immediately say, but in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 23. This word shows the limit of human might and achievements. Asa did many things, ruled Judah long, and built cities. But he also grew old, and disease came into his feet. Even the might of a king could not hold back the weakness of the flesh. Even a person who has done many things is in the end a frail human being before God. This gives us an important lesson today as well. However much a person does, and however good the fruit he leaves within the faith, that cannot become the ground of salvation. Our righteousness does not come from our achievements, our reforms, or our devotion. What makes us righteous before God is only the gospel of the water and the Spirit that Jesus Christ accomplished. Jesus bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. The person who believes this truth is righteous before God. Asa's reforms were a precious work, but he too was not a man made complete by his own deeds. Every person can stand before God only within the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Asa, diseased in his feet, shows that the path of life also has an end. The word that Asa was diseased in his feet when he grew old is short, but deep in meaning. Feet are used for walking a path. They are the members that show which way a person is going. Asa walked many paths as king of Judah. He walked the path of removing idols and the path of offering dedicated things to God. But before the pressure of Baasha, he also walked the path of sending the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, to ask for help. In Asa's life, there are good points and regrettable points together. He was a king who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but he did not always rely wholly on God alone before a crisis. The record that he was diseased in his feet makes us think that even a good king remains a frail being to the end. It is the same with us. Even after we believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, our flesh is weak. Our judgment can fall short, and at times the heart that wants to rely on human methods can arise. Therefore, we must not hold on to our own righteousness or our past zeal, but stand to the end on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. The gospel of the water and the Spirit does not save us because our flesh is strong. Rather, because we were weak and in sin, the Lord Himself came to this earth and bore our sins by receiving baptism from John. And He received the wages of those sins on the cross and gave us complete salvation by rising again from death. Therefore, we stand not by the strength of our own feet, but by the truth of the salvation the Lord has accomplished. Asa's death and burial show that every king returns before God. So Asa rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father. Then Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 24. Asa rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his forefather. He ruled Judah for many years, but in the end, he met death like the other kings. His being buried in the city of David shows that he was a king who belonged to the dynasty of David. But more important than being buried in the city of David is with what faith he lived before God. The books of Kings record the deaths of the kings again and again. Solomon died, Rehoboam died, Abiyan died, and Asa died. The kingship passes on to the next generation, but each person closes his own life before God. Human power may be passed on, but each person's faith is evaluated before God. After Asa, his son Jehoshaphat became king. This shows again the fact that God did not completely put out the lamp of the house of David. The human kings were weak and had their failures, but God continued the dynasty of Judah for David's sake. This stream moves forward toward Jesus Christ, who would come as the descendant of David. Jesus Christ, unlike all human kings, is the king of complete salvation. The human kings grew old, fell sick, and died. But Jesus bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of sin by dying on the cross, and gave eternal life by rising again from death. Therefore, our hope lies not in the achievements of a good king like Asa, but in the gospel of the water and the Spirit that Jesus Christ has completed. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 23 through 24 shows that even a good king has true hope only in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. These two verses close Asa's life. The rest of his acts, his might, what he did, and the cities he built were written in the book of the Chronicles. But when he grew old, he was diseased in his feet, and at last he died and was buried in the city of David. After him, Jehoshaphat became king. Asa was a king who did what was right before God among the kings of Judah. But his life, too, lay within human limits. He grew old, fell sick, and died. In his life, there was also the appearance of relying on God, but there was also the regrettable appearance of relying on a human alliance before a crisis. Therefore, looking at Asa, we must know that even a person's good reforms cannot become the ground of salvation. The ground of salvation is only the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Jesus bore our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. The person who believes this truth is the person who has received the true remission of sin before God. Therefore, we must imitate Asa's good points, casting away idols and offering our hearts to God. But at the same time, we must also see Asa's limits. Human power, achievements, and reforms come to an end. Our faith must be built not on human deeds, but on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that Jesus Christ has completed. When we are within this truth, we can hold on to the eternal salvation God has given us, even before old age, disease, and death. Nadab inherited the way of his father Jeroboam. Now Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 25. From 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 25, the record of Nadab, king of northern Israel, appears. Nadab was the son of Jeroboam. He became king of Israel after his father and reigned for 2 years. But his reign did not last long. What matters is whose son Nadab was. He was the son of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the man who changed the law of sacrifice God had ordained, set up golden calves to replace God, and made priests of ordinary people who were not of the sons of Levi. To protect his own kingship, he changed the order of salvation God had ordained. As a result, he dragged the people of Israel into sin. Nadab became king after this very Jeroboam. He inherited not only the kingship, but also the wrong way of faith of his father. This is why this passage must be viewed with fear. A wrong faith does not end in one generation. It can be passed on to the next generation. It is the same today. If a faith that does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit keeps being passed on in one generation, the next generation also comes to lead a religious life without knowing the truth of the remission of sin. If the truth that Jesus bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John is left out and only the blood of the cross is preached, people cannot know how their sins were passed on to Jesus. Then they come to think they are saved while sin remains in their hearts. This is the inheritance of a wrong faith. Nadab did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 26. In evaluating Nadab, The scriptures say that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 26. That evil does not speak only of personal moral corruption. He walked in the way of his father. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 26. And walked in the sin by which his father had made Israel sin. Here the sin of Jeroboam is mentioned again. The sin of Jeroboam was the sin of corrupting the law of sacrifice God had ordained. He feared that if the people went up to the temple in Jerusalem, his kingship would be shaken. So he set up golden calves at Bethel and Dan and said that they were the God who had brought Israel up from Egypt. He also changed the feasts and the priesthood God had ordained. Nadab did not turn back from this sin. He should have seen what results his father's sin had brought. He should have known that God had prophesied judgment on the house of Jeroboam. But he did not cast away that way. So the scriptures say that he too walked in the sins of his father. Today as well, a person can inherit just as they are the faith of his parents, the tradition of his denomination, old doctrines, and the teaching of his pastors. But if these differ from the gospel of the water and the Spirit, he must turn back. A tradition does not become truth because it is old, nor does a way become one God acknowledges because many people have followed it. The way of salvation God has ordained is the gospel of the water and the Spirit, completed by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death. Bosch's conspiracy became the instrument by which God's judgment was carried out. Then Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. And Baasha killed him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, while Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 27. Nadab was laying siege to Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. At that time, Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him and killed him. Nadab was killed in the midst of war by the treason of his own servant. This event is not a mere political assassination. It is an event in which the judgment God had already spoken concerning the house of Jeroboam was proceeding. Because Jeroboam had changed the law of salvation God ordained and had made Israel sin, God had said that he would cut off his house. Nadab's death is the scene where the fulfillment of that word begins. It is not that Baasha was used by God because he was a righteous man. Later, he himself also walks in the way of Jeroboam. But God uses even human treason and political events to fulfill the word he has spoken. Nadab was fighting the enemy, but the one who killed him was a servant from within. This shows how unstable a kingdom that has departed from God is. A faith that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit can also look strong on the outside. It can have organization, tradition, and authority. But a faith that has departed from the word of salvation God has ordained can collapse from within. A faith that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart cannot give true peace to the conscience. True stability is only within the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The word of God was fulfilled according to the prophecy of the prophet Ahijah. Baasha killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. And it was so, when he became king, that he killed all the house of Jeroboam. He did not leave to Jeroboam anyone that breathed until he had destroyed him, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 28 through 29. Baasha killed Nadab and became king in his place. And when he became king, he struck the whole house of Jeroboam. He did not leave anyone that breathed, but destroyed them all. This is a very fearful judgment, but the scriptures say that this came about according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 29. The word of God is fulfilled without fail. The destruction of the house of Jeroboam in this way was no accident. What God had already spoken through the prophet Ahijah was fulfilled in actual history. People may take the word of God lightly, but the word God has spoken is fulfilled just as it is when the time comes. Jeroboam should have turned back when God warned him. He should have turned back when the altar at Bethel was split apart, and his own hand withered and was restored. But he did not depart from his evil way. As a result, his house was completely cut off. Today as well, we must not take lightly the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. The way God has established to save sinners is clear. Jesus bore our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us by rising again from death. If we depart from this truth and speak of the remission of sin with human doctrines, the soul comes to depart from the way of life God has ordained. Jeroboam's sin was the sin of making not only himself, but Israel sin. Because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he had sinned, and by which he had made Israel sin, because of his provocation with which he had provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 30. The scriptures state clearly why the house of Jeroboam was destroyed. It was because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he had sinned and by which he had made Israel sin. He did not sin alone. He dragged all the people of Israel into that sin. He made golden calves and told the people that they were the God who had brought them up from Egypt. He changed the priesthood, changed the feasts, and changed the place of worship. The people thought they were serving God within the system the king had established, but in fact they were committing the sin of departing from the law of sacrifice God had ordained. This is why the sin of a leader is fearful. When one person establishes a wrong faith, many people follow that faith. When a person who does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit stands like a servant of God and preaches only the blood of the cross, those who hear do not come to know the truth that their sins were passed on to Jesus through the baptism he received. Then they lead a religious life with sin remaining in their hearts. The servant God is pleased with is the person who has received the remission of sin by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. He must believe that his sins were completely resolved by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death, and he must preach that truth. If a person leads others without knowing this truth, he can come to stand, like Jeroboam, in the way of sinning himself and making others sin as well. More important than the rest of Nadab's acts is what way he stood in. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 31. The scriptures say that the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did were written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Nadab, too, as king, would have done various things. There were wars, and there would have been records of his rule. But the scriptures do not speak of his achievements in detail. They record as more important the fact that he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father Jeroboam. In human history, achievements can remain. But before God, what matters more is in what way of faith a person stood. Nadab was a king, but he was a king who had departed from the way God ordained. He inherited his father's sin, just as it was, and in the end he was killed within the judgment of that sin. It is the same today. More important than how long a person has led a life of faith, how much he has done, or what office he has held, is whether he believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If he does not believe the truth that sin was completely resolved by the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death, human achievements cannot become the ground of salvation before God. The war between Asa and Baasha was the continuation of the unrest born of sin. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 32. Between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, there was war all their days. Baasha destroyed the house of Jeroboam, but he himself did not escape from the stream of sin of northern Israel. He became the instrument that struck the house of Jeroboam, but he was not a man who turned back from the sin of Jeroboam. This shows how wretched the history of sin is. A sinner judges a sinner. A traitor becomes king. And yet another war continues. If we do not return to the way of faith God has ordained, we keep fighting within the same yoke of sin. Southern Judah and northern Israel were originally one people. But after Solomon's corruption, the nation was divided, and through the sin of Jeroboam, northern Israel departed as a whole from the law of sacrifice God had ordained. As a result, the war did not stop. A faith that has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit also leaves war inside the soul. If the sins of the heart are not resolved, a person cannot be bold before God. He repeats prayers of repentance, looks back at his own deeds, and wavers between sinner and righteous. But the gospel of the water and the Spirit ends this war. For Jesus bore our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 25 through 32, warns that a wrong faith gives birth to a curse from generation to generation. This passage records Nadab's short reign and death, Baasha's treason, and the complete destruction of the house of Jeroboam. Nadab walked in the way of his father Jeroboam, and in the sin by which he had made Israel sin. Baasha killed him and became king, and struck the whole house of Jeroboam, leaving no one that breathed. All this was fulfilled according to the word God had spoken, through the prophet Ahijah. The center of this word is clear. The sin of Jeroboam brought a curse from generation to generation. That sin was the sin of changing the law of sacrifice God had ordained, making the people serve golden calves like God, and making even the people sin. Nadab did not cast away that way, but inherited it. In the end, he was killed, and the house of Jeroboam was cut off. Before this word, the believer today must fear the inheritance of a wrong faith. Even a tradition learned from people must be cast away if it differs from the gospel of the water and the Spirit. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross. A faith that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart. And a faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and one's own efforts are not the way of salvation God has ordained. The salvation God has given us is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus Christ bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. The person who believes this truth is the person who has escaped from the sin of Jeroboam and returned to God. Therefore, we must not follow the wrong faith of the father's generation, just as it is. Like Nadab, nor must we become people who strike the sinner and yet repeat the same sin, like Baasha. We must stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Only this truth delivers the soul from the curse of a wrong faith handed down from generation to generation and leads it into the true way of life before God. Baasha became the instrument that judged the house of Jeroboam, but he himself did not turn back either. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, the son of Ahijah, became king over all Israel in Tirzah, and reigned 24 years. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 33. Baasha killed Nadab and became king of northern Israel. He struck the whole house of Jeroboam and left no one that breathed. This was the judgment God had spoken to the house of Jeroboam through Ahijah the Shilonite, being fulfilled just as it was. Jeroboam had changed the law of sacrifice God ordained, set up golden calves to replace God, and led the people of Israel into sin. So God had said he would cut off his house, and through Baasha that word was fulfilled. But the fact that Baasha destroyed the house of Jeroboam does not mean he became a man of right faith before God. He became the instrument of God's judgment, but he himself did not return to God. Rather, even after becoming king, he followed the sin of Jeroboam just as it was. This is the very fearful point in this passage. A person can see another's sin being judged and still not turn back. Baasha saw why the house of Jeroboam was destroyed. He saw that the house was cut off because of the sin of changing the order of salvation God had ordained and making Israel sin. Then he should have cast away the golden calves and returned to the law of sacrifice God had ordained. But he did not do so. It is the same today. There are people who see the results of a wrong faith and still do not return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. They claim to believe in Jesus while sin remains in their hearts. They try to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and their own efforts, and still do not return to the way of salvation God has ordained. The way God has ordained is clear. Jesus Christ bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. Even a reign of 24 years did not guarantee right faith. Baasha ruled Israel from Tirzah for 24 years. 24 years is not a short period. He was long on the throne and enjoyed the power of ruling the nation. But the scriptures record as more important what way he walked than how long he reigned. In human eyes, Baasha was a man who obtained the kingship. He was the man who brought down the house of Jeroboam and opened a new dynasty. But before God, what mattered was whether he had cast away the way of Jeroboam. More than whether he was king for a long time, what mattered was whether he followed the way God had ordained. Faith is like this too. Attending church for a long time does not make a true faith, nor does ministering for a long time make one a true servant of God. What matters is whether one believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. What matters is whether one believes the truth that our sins were passed on to Jesus through the baptism he received, that those sins were judged on the cross, and that salvation was completed by his resurrection from death. If a person leads a religious life for a long time, without knowing the gospel of the water and the Spirit, he can rather become more deeply bound to his own doctrines and traditions. Just as Baasha ruled for 24 years and still did not escape the sin of Jeroboam, a person can fail to know the way of the remission of sin God has ordained even within a long career of faith. Baasha did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin, by which he had made Israel sin. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 34. The scriptures evaluate Baasha clearly. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. That evil was walking in the way of Jeroboam, and it was walking in the sin by which Jeroboam had made Israel sin. What is the way of Jeroboam? It is the way of casting away the law of sacrifice God ordained and building a system of faith by human thinking in order to protect one's own kingship. He set up golden calves to replace God, built altars at Bethel and Dan, and made priests of ordinary people who were not of the sons of Levi. He even set the feasts at his own will. This looked like offering worship to God, but in fact it was the sin of tearing down the way of salvation God had ordained. Baasha walked in this very way. He brought down the house of Jeroboam, but he did not bring down the sin of Jeroboam. The king changed, but the content of the faith did not change. The man changed, but the golden calves and the corrupted law of sacrifice continued. So northern Israel remained continually in sin before God. This same thing can happen today. Even if the leader changes, the church system changes, and the name of the ministry changes. If there is no gospel of the water and the Spirit, the essence does not change. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross, a faith that says one is saved while sin remains in the heart, and a faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance, are not the way of salvation God has ordained. Even if the name and the form differ, if the center has departed from the gospel of the water and the Spirit, it belongs to the way of Jeroboam. Even when the king changes, a wrong faith can keep being passed on. Baasha was not a king who belonged to the lineage of Jeroboam. He was a man who became king by treason, and yet he inherited the faith of Jeroboam just as it was. This shows that a wrong faith is passed on not only through blood, but also through systems of faith, doctrines, and habits. The house of Jeroboam was destroyed, but the way of Jeroboam did not disappear. The faith of the golden calves continued, and the corrupted sacrificial system also continued. This is the tragedy of northern Israel. Even when God judges the house of one king, if the next king holds on to the same sin, the stream of the curse continues. Today as well, a wrong faith can keep being passed on through denominations, traditions, and human teaching. A doctrine that speaks only of the blood of the cross without knowing the baptism of Jesus can be handed down from one generation to the next. A teaching that says it is enough to keep praying prayers of repentance even though sin remains in the heart can keep people bound in sin. The fact that many people believe that way does not make it the truth. The truth is the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Jesus took on the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. When we believe this truth, we are saved from the sins of the heart. Even one who stands in the place of judging others must himself stand in the truth. Baasha stood in the place of destroying the house of Jeroboam, but he did not see his own sin. He struck the house of Jeroboam, but he followed the way of Jeroboam just as it was. This shows that pointing out or tearing down another person's wrong does not by itself make one righteous. A person can see another person's sin. He can also say which faith is wrong. But if he himself does not stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit, he can end up remaining in the same way of sin. Even though Baasha became the instrument that judged the house of Jeroboam, because he followed the way of Jeroboam, he too became an evil king before God. Before this word, we must look back at ourselves. We must discern wrong Christian faith. We must discern the teaching that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross, the doctrine that says one is saved even though sin remains in the heart, and the faith that serves material things and success like God. But we must not stop at discerning them. We ourselves must stand firmly on the gospel of the water and the Spirit. True faith does not end with criticizing another person's sin. It is believing the word of salvation God has ordained and living within that truth. It is standing in the faith that Jesus bore all my sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified me by rising again from death. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 33 through 34, warns us to actually turn back from the way of Jeroboam. These two verses record the beginning of Baasha's reign and his spiritual evaluation. He ruled Israel for 24 years, but he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the way of Jeroboam and in the sin by which Jeroboam had made Israel sin. Here we gain an important lesson. The destruction of the house of Jeroboam did not mean the end of the sin of Jeroboam. The dynasty changed, but the wrong faith continued. Baasha saw God judge the house of Jeroboam, but he did not learn from that judgment and return to God. He repeated the same sin. Today as well, a person can see the results of a wrong faith and still not turn back. Even while knowing how unstable a faith is, in which sin remains in the heart, he can fail to return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If he does not know the baptism Jesus received, he cannot know how sin was passed on to Jesus. And with the blood of the cross alone, he cannot stand in the assurance that the sins of his heart have actually disappeared. If he still holds on to old doctrines and traditions, that is to keep walking the way of Jeroboam, the way God has given us is clear. Jesus Christ bore all our sins by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and saved us completely by rising again from death. The person who believes in this gospel of the water and the Spirit is the person who stands in the way of the remission of sin God has ordained. Therefore, we must not repeat the same sin after seeing another sin, like Baasha. We must not become people who destroy the house of Jeroboam and yet follow the way of Jeroboam. Even when the king changes, the name changes, and the form changes. If there is no gospel of the water and the Spirit, it is not the way of life. We must actually turn back from the way of Jeroboam and stand firmly within the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained.